Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at @HIV_hour and Instagram at @HIVHour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Good evening. Merry Christmas.
I'm just looking, everybody. We're all on this this week's show, and the listeners might not be able to contain themselves with how many of them, because we've all sort of come together, haven't we?
Yes.
We've got Tanya on. Tanya, how have you been?
Oh, yeah, I've been all right. Yeah, it's just the college. I'm under pressure, but hey, hoes, I have to forget it. It's Christmas.
Exactly.
Yeah, sometimes you have to have that time off, don't you? Because and reflect. This is kind of a reflection show, isn't it? We're kind of looking back at the last 2021 and maybe what's going to go on for next year as well. So it's a good time to reflect, Christmas, isn't it?
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We've had a rough year.
I think people automatically do it this time of year as well, don't they?
So how are you, Tony?
Doing all right. Yeah, I did a 10K 3 weeks ago for the Worthing.
How did that go?
I don't know. I was a bit knocked out for about 24 hours, but me and Dee, I pushed my wheelchair. Wheeled myself around Goodwood racetrack, 2.5 times around Goodwood. So yeah, we have raised over $1,000 for the hub. So that's cool. Yeah.
That's really good news, isn't it?
Well done. Yeah,
I'm just keeping to myself, keeping warm, making lots of Christmas baking, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mince pies.
No. Ginger and cinnamon cookies. They're my thing this year.
So nice.
Wow. Yes. Ooh, and your good self, Sue?
Yeah. Do you know what? I was speaking to Tanya just before. And she said, what have you been doing the last few days, Sue? And I said, I've been really happy doing nothing. And I've been doing nothing because I can. And after the busiest thing we've had, it's taken me a couple of days to sort of come down from the high of everything and World AIDS Day and all the wonderful busyness. It's wonderful. Stephen.
Yeah, well, like you, Sue, obviously, positive voices, and it was busy this year for sure. So it was a really busy time, but it was a great, you know, and I know that despite the fact of us feeling exhausted, we felt as if we really did something. So just getting ready to put my feet up, relax, watch some Christmas movies. That's what's in store for me. Yeah.
Right.
So why was it so busy then, do you think? What was the reason it was so busy this year?
Do you know what? Go on, Stephen. Go on. What do you think, Stephen?
Well, I was just going to say, as a speaker, I think there was a lot more talk. There was a lot of talk about it's a sin. So it's obviously that it's a sin brought HIV and AIDS back into, you know, people's lives, and people started talking about it, which has been a wonderful thing, you know. And quite often a lot of the students asked, do you think that it's a sin was a bad thing because so much has changed? So quite often I was saying, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing because it was a wonderful show. But on top of that, it has brought the subject back up again. So I think that's one of the reasons on my side. But Sue, what about you?
Because obviously you've been too. There's been quite a few things. We've had some law changing done over World AIDS Day. We had you know, on World AIDS Day, we had the announcement from the forces that things are going to change, you know, and the wonderful lieutenant, get his name right, Lieutenant Ollie Brown. Yes. He's in the Royal Navy, and he has been inspired for them to bring change in the forces, you know, because as it was before, if you were HIV positive, there were certain restrictions. Well, from, I think it's April, I think he said, from April, there's going to be, those restrictions are going to be lifted. And that's been absolutely instrumental now in the future. And and watch this space, HIVI, because I'm planning to do an amazing interview with Lieutenant Ollie Brown for January. But I think that and then we've had amazing things, you know, like the injectables, and that's coming out. And I don't know whether you've seen, guys, we've also got the go-ahead for the PrEP injectables. Yeah. So it's really lots of positive things that have been happening. Yeah. What springs to your mind, Tony?
I think the technology of our treatment has gone exponentially. It's just skipped like so far ahead now. It's just I don't know. Yeah.
Mm.
Just all the technology with like the PrEP and the injectables, like having an injection once a month or every 6 months would be amazing for someone who's been positive like over 20 years taking these meds. I mean, it's two tablets is nothing really, but you know, if I could have an injection, that'd be amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what does everyone think? I would have an injection. I would do that.
Do we know it's in the bottom, everybody? We're talking bottoms.
Oh, is it?
We're talking bottoms. Bottoms
I'll
up.
I'll just get my pearls. Wait 1 minute.
Bottoms up, isn't it?
Yes.
You know.
They're also looking into, because I already had one of the many conversations I have with my consultant, there is also going to be rolling out a pill. Release pill as well. I'm joking aside, but I mean, it is amazing, fantastic.
Is it just like an EpiPen? So it's just like literally you load it up and like bang it in and it's done?
I don't know.
It's just in that stage now, it's been accepted, hasn't it? And going forward. It'd be interesting to find out actually next year when we come back.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Tanya, are you still there with us? I think she may have just gone to the ladies. I was just going to ask her something that she'd done over World AIDS Day. But there's been some amazing things to share, and there's been so many things we've done as a HIV community. I'm having to think back, because there has been so much going on, apart from amazing, fantastic interviews we've done.
So anyway, what's on the show today? We've got a great interview. You've got a great interview, Stephen, haven't you?
I do. I've got an interview with Jill Hardy, who's been on the show before. And she's coming on the show this time to talk about PrEP and women. So she's doing a campaign in Newcastle for PrEP and for women. So it was filmed a couple of weeks ago. So it was just before World AIDS Day. So so that one's, I've been looking forward to that one coming out.
Yes, it'll be good to listen. We hear it actually. So we're going to talk about predictions, aren't we? And looking back, our reflections of last year. So that's come back. We're going to play a track now, which is Elton John and Ed Sheeran's Merry Christmas, Sue. And this is, you asked for this one, didn't you?
And of course, you know, I love anything that they do anyway. But apparently, I don't know whether you guys know, but apparently I've seen an interview with Ed and Sir Elton, and they were talking about how this song came about. And it came about this time last year with a phone call, as they do. And it all started from there. And I think it's a brilliant song. But what I'm so amazed about, obviously, that they've gone in there together. And I believe Elton has said that 30% of the money, right, you know, money taken on this song is going to go to the Elton John AIDS Foundation, which is always an amazing thing. So, and so apart from being an amazing song and a great conjugate, you know, that pair of them, something's going to a really well worth course.
Brilliant.
Right. Shall we listen?
Yes.
Yes. And we'll come back with your interview with Jill Hardy, Stephen.
Great.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the HIV Hour. Well, now we have a returning guest, Jill Hardy, who was on with us a few weeks back. And Jill's come back on to talk to us again, which is great. So welcome back, Jill.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks, Stephen. Thank you for inviting me back.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And Jill, the reason you've come back is because in the amazing amount of different things that you do in your job, one of the things you do is you're working on a campaign for PrEP for women.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's how you found me, isn't it? When I was doing a community event and wearing one of the Prep for Women t-shirts which our friends at Prepster had sent me, and I was there kind of wearing the t-shirt and so, you know, promoting Prep for Women, and I'm just trying to open up the conversations, you know, that Prep is out there, not just Prep is out there, but Prep is out there for women as well, and trying to promote that and gain kind of awareness around that, because I don't think people know, Stephen.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I admitted myself earlier on, Jill, you know, up until about a year ago, I just didn't connect. I just didn't put the two and two together and come up with four and go, women, if it works for men having sex with men, why doesn't it work for women having sex, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's the truth, isn't it? It does work, and it works just as well. It works, you know, it's just as amazing for women, but it's just getting it out there, isn't it, and talking about it.
Well, absolutely, and it's amazing how many people you have conversations with who, like you, thought that, you know, PrEP was exclusively for men who have sex with men. Mm-hmm. And now PrEP's available on the NHS following the IMPACT trial. PrEP is out there for everybody, and women can access PrEP, and it's something women can take kind of ownership of themselves. You know, we know that relationships aren't always easy, and it can be very difficult to kind of negotiate within relationships, maybe around kind of condom use or the kind of sex that you're having, where PrEP is something people can take, and it will protect them, you know, protect them against HIV, and it's free.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, you know? It's another way of protecting yourself, isn't it? You know,
completely.
And I think, you know, is it going back to these age old rules that women don't talk about sex, or women don't, you know,
women don't really have sex.
Well, women don't have sex. Exactly. No. It's like,
women, I think, you know, there's this idea. Sometimes I think that only heterosexual women have sex and only have sex to conceive, you know, to have their babies, and you know, that's it, rather than the kind of really sort of complicated sex lives that people have, you know, and around choice and around pleasure and all of those things, and the people they have sex with, and that can change over time, over somebody's life course, you know, and PrEP can be part of, you know, the choices and discussions that people have around their sexual health. I think sometimes as well there's this perception in women's sexual health that women are passive within sex, and sometimes, you know, that may be the case, and sometimes absolutely it's not, and again it changes, Stephen. Yeah. I think the more people who are aware of PrEP, you know, and that women can access this, then absolutely the better. Something that can protect them.
Yeah, and a statistic
against HIV.
Yeah, and a statistic that really blew my mind recently was that there's more women now, you know, with HIV in the UK. I don't know if it's across the world. I know definitely UK that there's more women that are living with HIV. So it's not something that doesn't need to be addressed, is it?
No. You know? Well, absolutely. I mean, I was looking at some data, you know, and there's this kind of almost an even split now in terms of routes of transmission between men who have sex with men and heterosexual sexual transmission. You know, and I think it was like something like maybe 28% of HIV diagnosis in 2019 were women. Yeah. You know, and women aren't always able to kind of take care of their health needs. You know, sometimes women can kind of put those their own needs kind of to the back because they're caring and all of this other stuff. Yeah. You know, so it's for me, it's part of those conversations around HIV is out there. Test regularly for HIV, you know, we're all about that, and PrEP, consider PrEP as an option. You know, we would always advise people, condoms will protect you against STIs, but you know, we know that that isn't always what happens. We can give condoms out to people all day long, you know, people don't always use them for all kinds of reasons. That's not just women, you know, that's men as well.
Yeah, I remember many, many years ago, Jill, show my age here, but I remember in the days that you used to go into a club and there used to be bowls of condoms on the, you know, in the gay clubs, you know, you used to go in.
Yeah.
But, you know, and as much as condoms are wonderful in what they do, you know, there are, that you know, that there can be mistakes, there can be problems.
Absolutely.
Issues. So having this extra protection, you know, for women that are having sex is, I think it's just, I think we need a campaign, don't we? We need women in an advert on television taking PrEP, you know, just to make it more visible. And I'm sure that's what you're trying to do at Shine, isn't it? You're just trying to shine a spotlight on it, isn't it?
Absolutely. And having those conversations, and it was so amazing that you at the other end of the country kind of picked up on that and reached out. We're like, come and talk to us. I was like, oh, fantastic, you know, because it's us. We're a really small team in the local authority here in Newcastle, you know, but chipping away in our communities. And having those conversations, and you know, even if it might not be right for somebody who might see the message or hear about it, think, oh, it might be useful for somebody else. And just opening up those conversations around HIV. You know, we're all about reducing stigma around HIV, aren't we? For people who are living with HIV, and encouraging people to test regularly. You know, and we know, don't we? That kind of 1 in 16 people who are living with HIV at the moment, they're considered undiagnosed.
Yeah.
So the more people who can test regularly, the more people who can talk about it. And I really do, like we said, believe knowing about PrEP, you know, that U equals U, all of these messages at the minute, it will help reduce stigma, which can only be a good thing.
So can I ask you a couple of things, Joe, just about...
Yeah, of course you can.
Because these are things that I know myself, I thought, oh, would that work for women? And would it work? So just let's blow some of these ideas out of the water. So
yeah, let's try.
Yeah, let's have a go. So as far as women, what would happen if a woman was breastfeeding and she was taking
PrEP? Oh, okay. Absolutely fine. PrEP is considered safe while women are breastfeeding. It won't impact on their contraception. So say, you know, you have maybe a woman who's taken the pill, worried that there would be some kind of contraindications, considered not. You know, it can be suitable for trans women who are maybe taking hormones.
Yeah.
You know, PrEP works for people. I would advise people who are considering it to have a chat with your sexual health clinic, because there's a few kind of medical checks that they would do with people. The first one being that the person is HIV negative.
Yeah.
And then they kind of check people's kidneys and things, just to kind of health check. And then, you know, hopefully good to go. And it would be the sexual health clinic who would work out with that person if it was right for them. But I would encourage everybody to have the conversations.
So have you seen an increase in women coming forward since you've been doing your campaign?
Well, we're just looking into that at the moment to see kind of what the kind of fallout, if you like, has been, you know, just having those kind of conversations. But I'm absolutely hoping so. You know, this isn't a time limited campaign for me. You know, we're working on the build up to World AIDS Day. We were on a few weeks ago talking about the U equals U campaign, which is building up to that. I'm not going to stop talking about PrEP for women. This is just going to kind of keep going for me. You know, you're still doing your thing. We're still doing our thing. It's, you know, it doesn't disappear on the 1st of December. HIV.
Exactly.
Continues all year round. It's a big kind of part of the work that I'm doing.
That's an important thing to see, you know, Jill. It's
completely.
It's more than about the 1st of December and what, you know, what can come from that. You know, there's a lot more. So yeah, you were just saying there, Joe, you know, that December 1st, it's more than just December 1st, isn't it? You know,
Completely.
So what are you hoping that, you know, that Shine and that this campaign is going to do? Are you hoping that it's going to go bigger than Newcastle? You know, because I think we need it here in London. I think you need to get on a bus and come here to London and start talking about women's PrEP.
Well, there are, you know, PrEPster have got their fantastic leaflet around kind of PrEP for women. And it was from there really. And I goes, oh, I'll have one of your t-shirts. So I wear the t-shirts when I'm going out and doing kind of community events. Which hopefully we're going to be able to do more of, being kind of out in the community, because we do lots of sexual health sessions with, you know, with women who perhaps it's not as easy to access mainstream sexual health services, shall we say. So kind of pre-COVID, I was going out and testing women for HIV in the community to remove those barriers, thinking it's hard for people to come.
Yeah.
You know, so why not take it out to people in somewhere where they're comfortable? And it's discreet and it's private, you know, maybe in like a community venue where they used to go in anyway. So that's kind of what I'm about, and that's what we were doing. And PrEP for me is part of that. You know, it's part of that kind of conversation around, let's talk about HIV and what you can do to kind of protect yourself and as well. You know, what's available to you.
Yeah. And it's important, isn't it, you know, that women are able to be in a position where they can feel free to talk about sex, you know, and talk about the protection and
without fear of judgment.
Without fear of judgment, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and there is, you know, for a whole range of reasons why it can be difficult for women to talk about sex and the sex that they're having or the choices that they're making. And that's a, you know, that's a conversation for another day. Yay. But PrEP is something that's out there for women. And I want as many women as possible to know about it.
Yeah.
And to think about, is it something that they perhaps would benefit from?
Yeah, yeah.
And exactly. Find out more about it. You know, it's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? But knowledge and information are powerful.
Exactly. Very, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, Jill, it's been great to have you back on the show.
Oh, yeah, it's always a pleasure. Thank you. It's always really nice to come and talk to you. Thank you.
No, no problem at all. And, you know, if anybody's looking for Shine and for what you're doing, I know they can hit you up on Twitter.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's where I found you. But yeah, is there anywhere else that you know, are you on any other social media platforms?
Yeah, we're on all the social medias as well. Shine Women.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Just kind of, you can find us that way, and you know, tweet us and say hello. But we use Facebook as well, Instagram. I'm also part of the steering group for the bigger campaign, which is Eyes Open, which we were on talking about before a few weeks ago, around that kind of big sort of regional campaign where we're promoting information about U equals U, because again, that's another really, really important message that people just don't know about. You know, and at the root of it all, it's about reducing stigma, you know, and kind of having conversations around HIV.
Yep. Well, great, Jill, thanks very much for coming on again.
Okay. Oh, super welcome. I'll have to think of something else to come and talk to you about again soon.
Okay, take care, Jill.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Listen. 97.2
FM. Radio Reverb. Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM, in the Brighton area, and .com online. And you can also get us on podcast. We're going to have a bit of reflection now, aren't we, everybody, about what's happened in 2021. Anything shine a special star for anyone in particular that we've done? Or
I think
good.
Yeah, I think your interview, Sue, with Jill. 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 That was amazing. Just to hear her story and to hear, you know, what's been done from It's a Sin.
You're right. I mean, that was one of my, and like everybody else, I've done some amazing interviews with people, and that is one of the one that sort of sticks out for me. Probably because with It's a Sin and how what a special lady she is, and the work she's still contributing to do. And I'm sure she's going to come along in 2022 and come on again. But yeah, that's one that sort of shines a bit of a star for me.
Yeah.
Anything for you, Tony, that shines a special star?
Nothing specifically. I just think keep doing like the amazing work and getting all the news out and stuff. I think we do I think people underestimate a small show like this, like we're listening to in America and stuff. So I think just keep doing what we do and just keep being an amazing team that we are. Yes.
No, but didn't Metro and THT had to pull the things up? So that was a big thing for you in 2021, wasn't it?
Yeah, in West Sussex, we lost THT and Metro Charities. So obviously the Worthing Hub is the only thing now in West Sussex, I think.
And how's that developed then over the year?
It was different because people were then, we were getting phone calls at like 2-3 in the morning where people were, you know, maybe calling THT or Samaritans or stuff like that. So it kind of built up. I mean, they left in June and July. And so then August, it was sort of there in sort of in the sort of the non-lockdown bloom. And then like, September came and it was like, oh my God, people started to contact us back. But yeah, it's been a really busy year, but obviously all the charities and everyone are doing an amazing job and will do throughout the holidays. So, you know, just to say thank you to all the people like Gary Lunch Positive. He's doing an amazing job over in Brighton and East Sussex. So, yeah. So what about you, Josh?
As you say, there's quite a lot of interviews, isn't there? I mean, I like the, if you remember, isn't it, the one we did with prisons with... that was very informative, wasn't it? So that was an interesting one. And the exhibition that we were part of, More to Me Than HIV, it's just, I think just having those been more visual and showing, you know, being out there and having that visibility is really important, isn't it? To keep it alive so that was mine.
What about Tanya?
I want to talk about interviews, but I will talk about the school talks that we did the last couple of weeks ago. Yeah. And for me to just listen to one of the kids talking about the injectables, coming up with that topic, it shocked me because I wasn't expecting it. I thought maybe the way we are doing, like going into schools, talking about it, just a little bit of kids, just a less number, does listen and take it away with them. But I realized that most of them are now concentrating on that. They listen and take it away and bring some ideas that they hear from, you know, wherever they will be. I think this was said on telly or something. She heard it on telly and she asked Sue that we heard about the injectables. You know, that question just, you know, made me feel like, yes, we're saying something that is being heard, especially with youngsters, upcoming youngsters.
Yeah, absolutely really right, Tanya. You know, and it's, sometimes we, you know, we sort of slash down some of our young people, but you know what, we do a lot of work with young people, and you know, they are the future of what we're hoping, you know, we're going to end stigma and all of those things, and they're going to be part of that, and that was, yeah, I remember that, Tanya, you know, a young person had just seen it on the announcement and was mentioned it in a school class, and that's in Brighton, and that was absolutely amazing, you know, so, but yeah, I'm glad you remembered that, Tanya, it was really good. But have we, I mean, remember, we'd done some pitching, didn't we, this year for some funding? I enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah,
the Brighton Soup. Pitching for the Brighton Soup, wasn't it? Do you remember that, Tony?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And we were, you know, it was a great thing to do, and realising doing that as well and be part of that was interesting to how important, like you said, Tony, the show is. Yeah, so it's good to do that. I mean, we'll probably do more pitching next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just because there's so many things, isn't there? We again, what Tony said about we are worldwide, that's one of the things that I will reflect on is actually realising how much people do listen to it around the world, and I think that's such an important thing. That kind of inspires me anyway to carry on and keep doing the show, to be honest.
We do have, you're absolutely right, Josh, we do have some followers, don't we, around the world that sort of tune in regular, which is absolutely amazing, you know, I have sometimes pinched myself, and it's not just a Brighton radio station or a small community affair, it is really, like you said, Tony, it's I think it's bigger than what we anticipated it would ever be, and my only hope and thought that will get bigger and you know, go further, reaching out to other people around, not just the UK, but around the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as we say this every week, don't we, when we're on, that if anyone's interested in coming on the show, telling their story, just contact us, and that's hivhour@gmail.com, isn't it? So you can always contact us through that, or our Twitter page, hiv_hour. So it's always, we always want new stories. And
absolutely. And you know what, Josh? We've just been talking about all the really amazing positive things that have happened. This could be the time for someone that has not spoken about their status or haven't been able to for whatever reason. This could be an opportunity. 2022, this is a time where I'm going to speak. I'm entitled to, I can, I want to, I'm allowed. So if you're feeling like this, please do contact the HIVR. You know, this could be an opportunity to come out in a really positive situation.
Yeah.
We've all been there, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've all been there in our own situation, our own stories, our own thing. And, you know, I'm speaking for myself that my journey to doing, getting to this place and doing the show, and it's been very helpful and insightful, and really, I'm pretty proud of it. And
could I just quickly? I'm just thinking, Josh. Could I just very quickly bring Tanya in at this point, because Tanya had a really big disclosure this year, and was part of her taking part in the HIV Hour that. Do you want to just quickly tell us about what that was, Tanya? You had a big disclosure this year.
Yeah, I told my son about my status, and I'm amazed how much support I'm getting now. And I had lost myself, and I had lost my voice as well. But now I've got since I did that disclosure, I found my voice back and my confidence, and whatever I'm doing now, I feel really confident and more powerful than what I was before, you know, and I can stand up for myself. But unlike before I did the disclosure, I was just hiding everything that I did. I didn't want to be known, you know, but now I've got all the confidence. I can talk, I can do this, and I can listen as well. Like what I said about that girl, it made me feel so proud Yeah. Oh my God, I'm doing a great job, you know. Yeah. So it's really good. After disclosing it, I feel much, much better. Yeah.
Feel something's lifted.
Yes. A baggage, which was what I was carrying on my shoulders, was just lifted off. Yeah, and I feel really lighter.
That's great.
That's a great thing to hear, isn't it? And it empowers people, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. This kind of thing.
I conferred with our furry friend. Radio Reverb.
Welcome back to the HIVR 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and on local podcasts and online. Welcome back. Josh?
Yes. Hello. Yes. So, so we're coming up to a new year, aren't we? So what's everyone doing for Christmas, actually? Let's just go around the room, the Zoom room.
Just at home, being safe.
Yeah.
With me Prosecco.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be having a glass of water.
Yeah, it is a bit strange time, isn't it? But, you know, 2022 is around the corner. Mm-hmm. Any predictions or anything you want to work towards next year?
I had a funny one, but I'm not going to say. No.
Yeah, remember whatever, yes.
Was it rude, Tony? If it was rude.
I was just going to try and find a husband, that's all.
Oh, okay, right, okay. No, why not? Well, I'll tell you what, point. To do something on dating would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
HIV and dating, yeah.
Yeah, is everyone up for that?
Yeah,
absolutely, yes.
Always.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Yeah, Tanya?
We could see if we can find Tony a husband.
Yes, and
We could alive.
Yes.
They need to be alive, Josh. They don't just need to be alive.
We can do a reality TV show of trying to find Tony a husband.
That would pull in the listeners, wouldn't it?
It would pull in the viewers, yeah.
A 10-part series.
We don't release the Zoom.
Got some interviews, I think, sort of in the making. I think I said in the beginning, I'm hoping to bring Lieutenant Ollie Brown onto the show for an interview, and there's some other influential people that have been instrumental this year in making change. Perhaps we can arrange some interviews with those people as well.
Any thoughts, Stephen?
I just it's been so busy. The last couple of months have just been so busy that I'm looking forward to what we can do next year. I don't have any plans, and I don't have a list of things that I'm planning to do, but I just think that I just hope that we can do as good as we've done, if not better than this year, you know. And we've done great this year, so just next year, looking forward to just topping that, definitely.
And you know, it's just important to keep doing what we're doing, and just keep the message out there, isn't it? I mean, it's interesting with the negative story, but they're comparing the COVID with HIV, aren't they, and people with a compromised immune system. So it's interesting, kind of stories, isn't it? And that can cause a bit of stigma, can't it, I think, a little bit.
If you're not careful. There is still a lot of misconceptions about things even now, and perhaps, you know, we may have a more discussion, you know, starting off in the new year, just in comparison of some of those misconceptions that really are still around, that really shouldn't need to be. So, you know, let's perhaps start the year off positively by outing some of those interpretations of what HIV is in an incredibly positive way. Perhaps we could do that.
And I think also just to mention, it's 40 years since next year since Terry Higgins died, and obviously Terry Higgins is who the Terence Higgins Trust was named after. So it's 40 years. So obviously the Terence Higgins Trust are going to be doing stuff for that. And I think you mentioned the Beacon as well, didn't you, Josh?
I think the Sussex Beacon is 30 years. Their birthday is next year, so so it's all these things can we can do stories and interviews around that get the lowdown on that, which is good. So Tony, what about the World in Hope then? Is that gonna have you got any plans for next year?
We're going to be doing a few things with Gareth and Lunch Positive. And as I said earlier, I just did a 10K to raise money for the Worthing Hub. So, hopefully maybe looking into getting a permanent base and maybe, just growing and reaching more people, supporting more people. Yeah, basically. That's it.
How do people get in contact with the Worthing Hub over
Christmas? Well, we've got email address, which is theworthinghub@gmail.com. Find us on everything, all social media, including TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, just The Worthing Hub. Or go through your local sexual health centre, through your clinical nurse specialist or consultants like Judith. So, so that's it. Yes.
And Tanya, you were... thoughts for next year?
I think I've got much to say, but it's just that my plans is just to carry on, spreading the word and let the people come and listen to our HIV radio show, and they can encourage their friends to tell their friends and their friends and their friends to come and listen. The more we listen, the more we reduce stigma and discrimination.
Can I just go over some Terence Higgins Trust are doing, they're doing some workshops early next year. So I'll just quickly go over that actually. So it's the Living Well project they do. And it's, if you go to tht.org.uk and put Living Well, you'll get all the workshops, and it's like peer learning. So they have things like motivating yourself, building self-confidence, looking after your well-being, facing fear and doing it anyway. So they're usually on a Wednesday, actually, Wednesday evening for an hour and a half. So you just go onto the website and if you want to register, go have a look there. They are very good, actually.
As I say, if anyone's ever done these workshops with the Terence Higgins Trust, please do give it a go. They really are facilitated brilliantly, and it's worth a try. As we're sort of looking into New Year, looking at maybe new challenges with maybe a second lockdown, I don't know what's going on, but it is a time where we need to always think about ourselves, but just be very mindful of our own sort of mental health and well-being. So that's a great opportunity for the new year, definitely.
Well, I think that's it. That went quick, didn't it?
It did. Gosh, we had a bit of a ball this week.
Yeah.
But it was great to get everyone on. Yeah, so Tanya's just had to slip out. She just had to put in a college paper.
Yeah, so she says goodbye. She says goodbye.
Busy girl, Tanya, but
So any last messages to our listeners before Christmas and New Year?
Have a safe holiday.
Yes, safe.
Yeah. Take care. That's it, isn't it?
Keep
smiling.
All be kind to our own selves individually, and whatever we may be doing,
And don't drink too much Prosecco.
I'll try. I'm not offering at the moment. So
that wasn't directed at you, Sue. Honestly,
no. Did I say so? Sorry. I think Tanya's. Yeah, so it's just keep smiling, isn't it, really? I think just keep going. And we're going to play New Year, we're going to play a rerun, so we'll be back in the new year and with a new show, won't we?
Happy
Christmas, everyone.
Happy. Oh, Tanya's just managed to pop back in. We'll just say a happy Christmas, Tanya.
Oh, happy Christmas to you. I just thought, you just chucked me out.
We'd never do that.
No.
So happy Christmas and have a great new year to everyone.
Yes. Okay. Keep safe, keep well. And we'll see you in the new year.
Give a shout out to my friends all over the world and all those who are HIV positive? I would like to wish you a Merry Christmas and all the HIV listeners in the world and in the UK. Merry Christmas and a happy, prosperous new year.
That's great. You said, Tanya.
That's brilliant. Well done. Well said.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news, and views on living positively with the virus.